So hello, everyone. We are here to talk about cows and absurdity, really. This book is just an absurd delight cover to cover. And honestly, like, Marco makes a point at the end that, like, it was the most pointless mission that they could have gone on. And so, in a way, you kind of wonder if it was the most pointless book. But oh, no. This book is a treasure trove of delight and wonder because it just slides into the fact that it is about nothing and really absurd things. And it's wonderful. It helps that it's narrated by Axe, and so he's the most assimilated that he's ever been into human culture, but of course still not completely, so he knows enough about television to talk about it, but not enough to make it sound like he's a human.
So, these messages.
Yes, I am young, and I am occasionally restless. Like, and they get a lot of comedy out of what, so Axe has a TV now. He has like a little Andalite Scoop living area. And he watches TV all the time because he loves it. And who wouldn't, really? Like, come on. We can't blame him for this. And so watching him try and, like, adopt what he learns on TV from... He watches soap operas. He watches The Young and the Restless. Like, watching... Like, he tries to take what he sees on The Young and the Restless and apply it to be like, well, this is how all humans do it. Like, he tries to go to the mall without a shirt.
Because none of the men on soap operas wear shirts. Which is a true thing. That is a statement of fact.
Oh, Axe.
Or, like, when he talks about, like, heart health or losing weight in Good Morning America.
Yes, like, Katie and Matt and Al losing fat from the key areas of the body.
Oh, my God.
There were so many little, just tiny little gems of Axe being completely absurd in here as he tries to navigate human life.
And then when Marco, like, tries to get him to watch better TV, when he, like, recommends that... Buffy!
Yeah!
Party of Five?
Okay, maybe not Party of Five. I never watched Party of Five. But Buffy, I'm glad that Buffy ranked for Marco.
Yeah, can I swear I don't talk about Buffy more? Usually Xena, but I'm like, Buffy is a great analog for Rachel as well.
Also true. So, this book, it kind of follows the recent pattern of, like, Eric brings something to the Animorph's attention, but he doesn't really know what's going on. And so they have to investigate and, like, see what the scope of it is and try and shut it down. In this case, Eric appears to them as a FedEx truck and tells them that the Yerks have bought up a bunch of meat packing plants. And yeah. So that's a little worrying. And they seem, like, super excited about it. And that's even more worrying. So the Animorphs have to try and see why it is that the Andalites want to access... meat humans that they consume at the meat packing plant. And so the plant, it's like they manage to work around a lot of obstacles, and they get in three stages. The first thing is they hijack a truck of chimpanzees because they find out somehow. How do they find out that they're doing like animal testing? Can't remember now. Oh, well. They find out they're doing animal testing. See, this book is about nothing. We're just going to wing it. It's about cows.
It's like Seinfeld. It's a Seinfeld episode of a book.
And it's wonderful. Please don't get us wrong. They find out that they're doing animal testing, which it does sort of veer into Cassie, like, getting a little fussy britches about animal testing. And, like, you know, rightfully so.
Well, and, like, the whole, you know, the overarching theme of, like, free will and stuff, I think... I mean, the first time you see it rear up is with the chimps, because Axe is like, oh no, are these humans? They look human, they kind of feel human, and they're sort of acting like humans. Are we allowed to, like, acquire them? And Cassie's like, I'm not ready to have that conversation, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they skid into sort of the ethics issue in this, because, and I think, I mean, it's a ripe conversation to have with... the slaughterhouse, and, you know, it lines up with the predatory prey thing, it lines up with, you know, with Tobias's thing, with Cassie's thing, and the code of ethics of the animal kingdom. Is it okay to murder, you know, for food? Is it okay to mass murder for food that is wasted? Is, you know, cows are defenseless. Is it okay to kill down so far down the food chain? Why don't we eat the predators that could probably eat us? Like, Axe raises all of these questions, and so it does actually have, like, you know, this book isn't about nothing. Like, it does, you know, voyage into the ethics of food, the food chain, and you know, animal eating and animal testing and everything. And Cassie is sort of staunchly against it, and she takes a lot of crap for it. Marco is a little extra ruthless. Yeah.
Of course, since they're chimps.
That is true. So they find out they're doing animal testing, and they hijack a truck that's bringing chimps into this Yerk facility. This is the same as the meatpacking place, right? Like, it's all one thing?
Yeah, I think so.
It's kind of confusing, but whatever. Sure. HQ. Yeah, HQ. So they hijack this truck, and they use the length of a tunnel to you know, get in and acquire these chimps and get in the cages, and then at like a stoplight they like let the chimps out. It all seems a little crazy, because also they're on the roof. They like jump on the roof of the truck and like acts as an andalite on the roof of this like truck barreling through a tunnel. Like, yeah, right. It's a little bananas. And so they manage to get into the facility as chimps, and then they're found out fairly quickly. Like, this one doesn't go very well, this first mission. They find out that, I guess the next thing is cows. They know that they have cows now. But mostly, like, they just have to escape. They have to get out of this situation. And of course, Marco's genius idea is to fling poo at their attackers.
Terrible as far as like animal defenses go. It's within character. It doesn't make them look weird.
No.
But it pisses people off.
Well, why wouldn't it?
You know, maybe it's just because of the people that I hang out with, but I almost was like, hey, wait a minute, is the meatpacking plant, are they eating humans? Because there's that whole thing where Yerks don't have to like use conjoined rays if they consume other Yerks, like if they cannibalize Yerks.
That's true.
So then I was like, maybe they'll be cannibalizing humans next. Well, I don't even watch Hannibal.
Well, it does raise questions. Like, they don't really, you know, try and delve into and explore why it is, like, what it could possibly be that they're using. Because I think every outcome is, like, a little bit gruesome. So the main issue is just, like, you need to get it in and shut it down. So they find out that the only way that they can enter this meatpacking plant is as cows, because Axe and Tobias stake out the place after they have, you know, kind of, I don't want to say failed their chimp reconnaissance mission, but it, you know, it didn't really lead to a whole lot of places. So Axe and Tobias stake it out because there's nothing else to do during the day except stake out some television. And they find out that the Yerks are using the what are they called? Gleet biofilter. Which, if you recall, we learned about way back when they were trying to find the Yerk pool through McDonald's, because it is, you know, a Happy Meal with extra happy. I remembered something!
It's kind of like a nice callback, because, you know, of course, when Eric tells them about this meatpacking plant, Margo makes a bunch of jokes about burgers.
Yeah!
And, I mean, it is chilling to think that people could be messing with our burgers, even past the extent that they already do.
Yeah.
Probably not actually
vegan. Anyways, shout out to the vegetarians and vegans in the audience. And the pescatarians. They find out that the only way that they can pass the Gleet biofilter is as a Yerk or as a cow. Like, or a human, basically. As a human or a cow. And of course, they can't just, like, walk in as humans. So that leaves the other option to walk in as cows, which of course Marco is duly aghast by, because who wants to walk into a slaughterhouse as a cow? No one. No one in their right cow mind.
It's so funny to me that it's not even cows, it's steer.
Yes.
That are going in. But of course everyone forgets that if you acquire the DNA of a steer, you get a bull.
Yep. That's a fun surprise.
Oh, God, and there are cow dippers, too. I'm
like, this whole book is absurd. Because the next step in the plan, like, it's kind of, like, just strangely methodical. So that they find out that they only take in certain steer into the facility in a certain order. Like, they're organized about it. And so the steer, the cattle, or whatever, have, like, an ear tag that's numbered in, like, some sort of sequence. So it'll also, in order to be let into the facility, they have to have this ear tag on their ear as well as be steer, which of course that becomes a problem later. So then the next part of the plan is for Axe and Tobias. They're the obvious choices to go in as cows, because if they have to demorph, they don't demorph to human. So they won't blow any cover. So Axe and Tobias are the ones to acquire the cows, and when they do, Marco and Rachel go with them in the dead of rainy night with Rachel carrying an ear tag stapler thing. So that...
Which, of course, Cassie just happened to have around.
I'm sure she... Yeah, she did. She was just like, oh, here you go. Which I also kind of just liked that because not everybody needed to be there, they were like, oh, Jake and Cassie had family things. Just because it felt like a little more realistic to teenager schedules. And they also had stuff in this book where Marco was trying to write a makeup paper and he spelled Soviet with a U.
They make a Jean-Claude Van Damme joke, which I love. Really love him. And just like, it's a very good book for cultural references.
It really is. And just for general delight and humor. And so, because nothing too serious happens, so that's good. Except for when they nearly get slaughtered. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's kind of gory.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a slaughterhouse surprise, but even still, it's like, cool.
Yeah, it got real very quickly. So they get everything in order, and they're nervous that a human is coming and is going to see them in the cow field, pasture, steerage thing, whatever it's called.
Steerage,
but I'm bumped.
It's in a boat.
They have to carry cattle.
I learned Titanic.
Yeah, me too. embarrassing. Anyways, point being, this is all moot because the best part of this is that it is not actually a threat. It is college cow tippers. It is frat guys. And I am so...
Trying to explain cow tipping to an alien is like, there is no way literally on Earth you could ever do that.
No, Marco tries and Axe just keeps going, why? Why?
Usually involves a lot of alcohol, guys. Like, that's really all you need to know.
Oh, man. I also really enjoyed how... Just, like, not here for that, Rachel was. Rachel was just like, we should kill them anyways. They're just useless. Like, just, they don't even need to be here. I hate them.
Natural selected out.
Oh, God bless. So that turns out not to be a real threat. So they're able to go back with Axe and Tobias as cows. And the problem that arises is that steer are neutered and bulls are not, and of course, when you acquire the DNA of a neutered steer, the neuter does not transfer in the DNA. So, they were bulls and not steer.
Two bulls.
Yes, and okay. So that meant that Axe and Tobias were also really kind of like aggressive towards each other, and Cassie had to play peacekeeper really, really quickly because a truck was coming to take them into the facility, to the slaughterhouse. So Axe and Tobias calm down, and they get in the truck, but the others quickly realize that, you know, the farmer controllers are going to realize that they're bulls and not steer. And so the obvious solution to this that Jake comes up with is to knock out the drivers of the truck and have Marco drive the truck.
Because there's so much awesome driving in Marco's past. Like, he's a canonical terrible driver because he's, like, 12. Like, none of you can drive. We have specific instances of Marco being a shitty driver.
Well, and they reference it. Cassie says, like, my dad still weeps over, like, the twisted remains of his truck. Like, this book was also very good at callbacks. Whoever ghost wrote this, like, did their homework. A+. So, which was hilarious. And they also wrote, like, a near car accident. Like, Marco nearly tips it. Which is slightly terrifying, and because it's so absurd, like, but it could happen. But as you're reading it, you're like, oh my god, you're gonna get this far, and then you tip over the truck of cattle.
I was gonna say they should let Jake drive, but we also have evidence of him being a terrible driver when they're at the gardens and he's like tipping over golf carts. I'm like, why don't you let one of the girls drive?
Yeah, I was about to say Rachel is probably the best driver.
I mean, Cassie probably drives farm equipment, so like.
Probably.
Never the best part is yet to come, though, as far as driving goes.
Yes. Well, wait. Oh, in books? Or in this book?
Yeah, because... No, in this book, because Marco is driving as a gorilla.
Oh, yes, he is, isn't he?
And then, like, when they get to the near headquarters, he has to, like, partially demorph, like, to talk to somebody. I'm like, oh my god, what is happening?
He's a gorilla in human clothes, too. They bother to put the truck driver's clothes on him.
It's like a leisure suit.
Where is Rachel?
I want to shake this ghostwriter's hand.
Is Rachel flying overhead? Where is she? Oh, she and Cassie. Excuse me. I forgot the other hilarious part. She and Cassie. I'm a little on this. They decide that flies can get past the gleat biofilter if they're inside the cow, aka so far up the cow nostril. I don't buy it.
I would not be willing to test that.
No, me neither.
Like, because if you're wrong, you're really wrong. Mm-hmm. Really, really wrong. You're dead.
Yeah. So Cassie and Rachel were the brave souls in more than one way for morphing flies and jamming themselves up Tobias's and Axe's cow noses. Well, bull noses, really. And then Jake and Marco morph flies and also go in on the cow nostril express.
Which, it does work. I mean, I guess it does make sense. You have to assume these cows all have, like, parasites. Well, that's don't know that they make it in alive.
Yeah. Well, that's, like, Rachel was like, please don't say tapeworm. So they make it into the slaughterhouse, and of course, things go to slaughter very quickly. And Axe and Tobias freak out because they literally are just, I think, like, hit with, like, a syringe, like, they're killed, and then strung up by their feet, and then conveyed off to be butchered. And
since Axe and Tobias are bulls, they also get cattle prodded.
Yeah.
Drunk.
So... Yeah. So they're separated from the rest of the group and trying to figure out how to get out of this line to the death march. And luckily, Rachel comes in as a grizzly bear and saves their butts. And Tobias is, like, kind of hilariously pissy about how long it took her. But, you know, yeah, seeing that
they've
situation.
They've probably all gotten spoiled by Rachel showing up early in her grizzly morph.
Kind of. Well, the others are not doing so hot when Rachel saves them. They're sort of cornered by... controllers, and Visser 3 shows up, and they're like, oh, crap. So they're able to get in a locked room. They're able to bypass a door and get into a locked room, and when they arrive in that room, they see humans kept in cages, and it turns out that the Yerks have been doing testing, first on the chimpanzees, which it bears stating, I didn't mention earlier, when they left the facility the first time, Cassie, like, freed all of the chimps. Because it's the right thing to do. And all of the others were kind of against it because they were like, they'll know that we were here. Like, obviously, like, all of the chimpanzees being freed is a disturbance that will alert them to our presence. But Cassie insisted, and Rachel backed her up, and so then they were like, all right. And they freed them all. BFFs. So, of course, now humans are in cages, which, you know, incenses Cassie just as much, slash even more. And... they find out that the Yerks have been doing testing on them and that they have created a serum of sorts that they can put into the human food supply that will damage the brain and take away the human's, like, quest for free will, the ability to choose of their own free will. And this actually was funny as well. They managed to make this funny because everyone... was like, oh my god, like, how could they do such a thing? This is the worst thing that could ever happen on this planet. And Cassie was just kind of like, bullshit.
She's, like, laughing.
It was pretty great, because Cassie immediately, being, like, queen of the biology, like, natural world knowledge and intuition, is just immediately like, you can't, there's no way. You can never take away free will. You just can't. And so the big looming threat disappears very quickly because Cassie just immediately calls this bluff. And it turns out that she is right because they find a scientist, a human controller scientist, who basically admits to having faked the results because he was so scared that Visser 3 would behead him and feed him to the taxons, probably, for not having successful data on this project.
Visser does not understand how science works.
No. Well, he wouldn't.
He was a warrior. Remember when he makes fun of Elfanger for being, like, sissy and, like, a rounded, gentle warrior who, like science and stuff?
Yes. And now it's all connected.
He did not learn his lesson.
No.
Obviously.
No. So, the threat is immediately just, the wind is taken out of its sails. And so they let the humans free. They open the cages and let the humans go. Oh, it's important to mention, they opened the cages, and then they say, Prince Jake orders, we're getting out of here. And says who? A gnarled old man demanded. Says no one, Cassie said gently. Your choice, stay or go. Yeah, well, this shelter is terrible. I'm going back to the Salvation Army, the man said. Cassie said, I believe that was a human being exercising free will.
Yeah, because they're, like, experimenting on homeless people, which, I mean, experimenting on people is bad, generally. Mm. But, of course, you would do it on the totally disenfranchised yurks.
And apparently, they also didn't work on the chimpanzees, the formula for Project Obedience. It didn't work on the chimpanzees. And Cassie was like, huh, crazy. You don't say.
Have that conversation now, X. I'd love to enlighten you.
God, I really love how smug Cassie was.
This book could be better is if instead of cows, it was somehow about whales, and then we can make a bunch of Free Willy jokes.
And also we can get more Cassie as a whale.
Which I do like. Moby Cassie.
I don't remember how do they get out? Do they just walk out? What happens? Do they throw more poo? I don't know what happens. I can't remember.
I actually don't remember how they get out either. Just that they're eating burgers at the end, which...
Yeah.
It's probably what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah, so the point being, they get out, and they just go hang out at the mall and eat hamburgers. And that's the book. And Marco complains about the pointless mission, and Axe talks about cinnamon buns. So yeah, so this book was fairly straightforward. I don't know if we really have much to discuss about in the ways of, like, deep character moments or, like, philosophy. I mean, the philosophy is there, but it's so straightforward, and it's so sort of undiscussable in a way. It's just, and that's the point. That's Cassie's point, is that, like, there's no taking away free will. It just is. So we hope you read it, though, still, because this was just a delight to read. Page after page of Axe being absurd and hilarious. Is next, the preview in my book, the two next things, there's 29, The Sickness. It's Cassie turning into the year, is it not? Isn't it?
I think so. Oh.
I'm excited. So there's that. And also we have another Megamorphs coming up.
Really?
That's what the book says. The two previews, it says, don't miss Animorphs number 29. Elfanger
Secret.
And then, Megamorphs number 3. Elfanger Secret. There's a lot going on. Elfanger Secret is the Time Matrix.
It is. AKA where I got most of my knowledge about the 20th century from.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. Because I really love number 29, and I really love that Megamorphs. Yeah. So, we're in a
couple months.
Yeah, we're in a good little streak now of Animorphs books. So please join us. Return for number 29, The Sickness. And we hope you enjoyed number 28, The Experiment.
Another cow!
Actually, I think that was the same one.